What the Lord has laid on my heart, I trust, is from Him. I would like to speak of the voice of God, the voice of God. And we might turn, first of all, now to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side or end of the heavens to the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking? And before I go into a few of the details, I'd like to just say three things to bring this voice, beloved ones, down right into our being here this morning. First of all, we go back to Genesis. I won't turn to these scriptures. Some of them I will feebly quote to save time. But I want to give you these three points in time. Our first parents, Adam, in Genesis 3, he could speak there as having heard the voice of God. First parents, he heard the voice of God. Secondly, every one of us here this morning who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 5:25 tells us this. They that hear shall live. To hear the voice of the Son of God is eternal life. Does this mean much to us? I trust so. We have heard the voice of the Son of God. Thirdly, these natural ears of ours are going to hear that same voice. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Why does it say a shout? I don't know, but I just venture this thought, suggest this thought to you. That the blessed Lord Jesus in the glory has been waiting for these 2,000 years. And when that last one is gathered in, the blessed Lord Jesus shall come in those clouds, and he's just going to not say anything, but it's going to be a rapturous shout of joy. We're going to hear that with these ears, whether we pass through the oracle of death or whether we are still living here on this earth. Those three things. Now I'd like to just quickly mention that a few of those men on this earth who have heard the voice of God. We've mentioned Adam. Noah heard that voice of God. Abraham heard the voice of God. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the minor prophets. Sometimes they heard the voice of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing, as we have read there in Deuteronomy, to have heard, for those men to have heard the word of God. Scripture speaks in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration or God-breathed. This book, beloved ones, every word of this book came out of the mouth of God. And wonderful as it was for those Old Testament saints to hear the word of God, wonder of wonders, those words have become a man. First chapter of John's Gospel says, the Word was made flesh. The Word of God is a person now, a living person. How wonderful that is to realize that that Blessed One came to this earth. We know the story well. All, and when he was asked, who art thou? He could say, altogether all that I have spoken unto you. What a wonderful realization that the Word of God and the person of God are one. Now some of you younger ones might say, well, yes, but that was so long ago. Since the cross, did anybody ever hear God's voice? Yes, indeed. If we turn to the book of Acts, there we will hear in the 26th chapter that a man here on this earth, Paul, he heard the words of the Lord Jesus. And what did he say to that man? What did this man, Paul, hear from heaven? He said, I am Jesus. Think of that. And not only so, but in Matthew 3:17, we read that a voice came from heaven, the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I find my delight. Not all my delight, as sometimes we quote, my delight. There's no measure to this. Heaven was opened, and God the Father speaks thus about his Son. Well, you might say, well, yes, we've heard his voice. Did ever anyone ever see into heaven? Yes. We turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7, and there we hear a man, Stephen, and what does he say? He says, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of God at the right hand, the Son of Man at the right hand of God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? A man on this earth, he's looked up into heaven. And there he sees that blessed one, Jesus, standing there. Oh, how real this is. I hope it grips our souls, beloved ones. Well, you might say, yes, it's true, we have heard. And at least he has, Paul heard, Stephen saw, but was ever anyone ever in heaven, a man on this earth? Did a man ever get up to heaven and come back to this earth? Yes, he did. Who was that? The Apostle Paul. 26th chapter of the book of Acts tells us that blessed one was caught right up into heaven. Right into heaven, into paradise, it speaks of. He saw and he heard words that were just untellable. Think of it. He came back to this earth. We might ask, what did he hear? What did that man, Paul, the one who described himself as the chief of sinners, what did he hear? Let's turn over now to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 3. One man, bear in mind, only one man has this experience. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 5, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Here was the secret that was locked in the heart of God, hidden in his heart from a past eternity, and one man is caught to heaven to see a glorified Christ, a man glorified, and to hear from his lips. I'm speaking about a human being, beloved ones. Oh, that it might grip us to realize that in our hands we are hearing, we know the truth that a man on this earth, or at least caught to the glory, he receives this mystery. You and I have heard what he has said. What is that mystery? Well, I believe that we could say that it has two characteristics. One is that it is vertical. It's a vertical unity. Or we might put it first, horizontal, because this scripture brings before us that horizontal view. That the Jew and the Gentile, all those early years of the Old Testament, God told those Jewish people that they were a separated people for himself and that they were to have no connection with the Gentiles. But here now this mystery comes out, revealed to Paul, that the Jew and the Gentile are to be made one in Christ. What a wonderful mystery revealed. On the other hand, let's go over to the fifth chapter, and we see there the vertical mystery. Verse 25. Christ also loved the church. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here is that wonderful unity now of Christ the head, united indissolubly with every believer on this earth. Wonderful mystery. Our heavenly calling, beloved ones. Heavenly calling. We're not of this earth. This is the truth that God brings here in this mystery that has been revealed to us. Horizontal and vertical. Well, we might say, yes, but that still doesn't come down to us. Let's go over now to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 7. Here's the voice again. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, not the Old Testament, not the days when the Lord was here, not the last century, when the truth was restored to be enjoyed. But beloved ones, I say this to myself, I say it to you. Here is the voice for you and for me today. I trust you will bear with me if I speak plainly. Let's go on. Today, if ye will hear his voice. There's the condition, beloved ones, to hear his voice. And then it says, harden not your hearts. Well, I just believe that the hardening of the heart is the exercise of my will, your will. And this is that, beloved ones, which is of deep concern to those of us who are older. I speak in love now to those who might be 10, 20, 30 years younger than we are. And if the Lord doesn't come soon, our voices are going to be silent. And it's to you younger ones who are growing up in the assembly to take on the responsibilities entrusted to you from the Lord. Now, I trust that what I say in love. Don't let's harden our wills. If I use my will to maintain a doctrine, whether it's right or wrong, I'm going to be in trouble. And I'm sorry to see, as I look onto, I might say, a little glimpse into the future, I believe that there are stormy days ahead for us. And I just say this, as I said, in love to those who are younger. Oh, I need to examine my heart, and you need to examine your heart. Are we listening to that voice? Or is there in my heart an unjudged determination that I'm going to press my thoughts or my opinions? I believe that there are two results if we do. One is, and pardon me for saying it, I have been gathered to the Lord's name for over 60 years, and I have seen many divisions and defections from the path that we have been taught to love and to walk in. But I think I am correct in saying that every one of those who were turned aside, as I look back to my younger days as a young person in our assembly, I was caught up in it and I was led astray, but pardon me for speaking personally, I can thank God that I was delivered from that spirit. But as I look back unto those, the lives of many of those younger ones that were influential in leading away, I'll just tell you that one of them just went to be with the Lord recently, and he had a reverend attached to his name. A brother that was very gifted. But I believe that the first result, if, now I hope I make myself plain, I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, to myself and to each one of us, but I do believe this, that we are going to be hurt if we press our own opinions, whether it be, as I said, doctrine that is right, or whether it may not be right. If I am pressing my opinions, I believe that that course is going to lead farther and farther down and will lead to disaster. If, I emphasize, if there is the will at work. Oh, that we would be listening to the voice of the Lord and not to be listening, we'll come to it in a minute, to the voices that are around us. Secondly, the result, I believe, of a course of our pressing our own opinions in the assembly is divisive. It divides the saints of God. Do I want to follow that path? I trust not. Let's turn over to First Corinthians. Chapter 14, verse 10. There may be, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. We're hearing many voices, beloved ones. I hear people speaking about many on radio that are gifted. I don't deny that. But we have seen in the last year the disgraceful dishonor that has come to the name of the Lord from voices that may have been heard impressively, but where has it led to a dishonor to the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And there are many. I do believe the Lord Jesus gives gifts to the church. We may not be able to benefit from some of them because we cannot walk with them. But I believe, beloved ones, and I say it in love to each one of us, let us be very sure that it is the voice of the Good Shepherd. Test it with the Word of God. I believe that we can be ensnared easily if we, as Paul could say, the things which thou hast heard from me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We need to know the life of those who are saying these things that might be questionable. Recently there was one of the large, I'm speaking plainly, recently there was one of the large Christian groups, very influential, gifted leader. He started to press a line of doctrine that the Lord Jesus is only going to come back in the middle of the tribulation. These things are coming in. These are voices that are being heard. The partial rapture of the saints. Only those who are looking for the Lord are going to be caught up. The rest will remain here and go through the tribulation. Oh, I believe, beloved ones, that we need to be on our guard. On our guard. Many voices. Satan's voice is very clever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. What does that mean? Well, I just believe that it means this, that the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, of Satan, are so close together these days that it is becoming increasingly difficult to distinguish between what is the truth and what is error. Everything that Satan does is an imitation of the truth. And we need, beloved ones, to know those who are teaching and to be very careful as to who we listen to. Let's go on with this verse. Therefore, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now this verse particularly. Even so ye. Ye is in the plural. The plural subject in King James grammar. Forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel or abound for the edifying of the assembly. Isn't that encouraging? I trust that the motive, beloved ones, for each one of us, as we might speak to others or in the assembly, that it might be for the edifying, the building up of the assembly. I ask myself, I ask you, in your life, you dear younger ones that are here today, what effect is what you are saying and how you are acting, what effect is that having on your local assembly? Oh, how serious a matter it is if what we are saying is not reflecting the truth, and therefore it is going to be divisive, and it is not going to be for the edifying of the assembly. May it be touching the conscience of each one of us. If we go back to the days of the early fathers, the book of Deuteronomy closes with the death of Moses. The book of Joshua closes with the death of Joshua. And then a dark day descended on Israel. It could be described as Israel's day of democracy. I refer to the book of the Judges. I believe we can learn lessons from that book. The leaders' voices were gone. I counted up 13 enemies that were allowed by God to come in to test God's people. I believe we're living in such a day. Dark days. Darkening days, beloved ones. If the Lord doesn't come soon, we are in for storms that we have never seen before. But what about those days of the Judges? How does Judges close? It closes by saying this. There was no king. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Is that the day we're living in, beloved ones? Are we substituting our own opinions for the Word of God? The voice of God speaking to us today? Those days of the Judges lasted for about 300 years. Did God raise up certain ones? Yes, he did. The Judges. But no sooner than those Judges were passed as the result of people calling to God, that they reverted back to their disobedience again. And on it went, darker and darker. And I believe that it's but a picture, beloved ones, of what is developing today. Is that all? It would be sad indeed. But when we come to those dark days, we hear once more the voice of God. Who is he speaking to? He spoke to a little boy, Samuel, a little boy. And he called from heaven, and he called that little boy by his name, Samuel, Samuel. Would to God that there were some Samuels here this morning. What was Samuel told to say? He was told to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." How beautiful. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And when he was sent back to bed, and he heard those words again, because the Lord came right to him and spoke to him there. What did the Lord tell little Samuel? Of good days, dark days. God imparted through Samuel to the children of Israel that there were dark days ahead. And I believe again that it is a message to you and to me. Might we, beloved ones, be like little Samuel? I have to confess, I feel as weak as little Samuel must have felt when he heard the voice of God, and it says that he let not one word fall to the ground. Not one word. He didn't forget one word that was spoken by God, who imparted to him a message that was bypassing the high priest of the day, Eli, who through carelessness, through bringing up his family carelessly, never correcting his children. Oh, what a picture of today this is. No authority. One time one of the early brethren was asked, "Is discipline the foundation of the assembly?" And he said, "Without doubt, without doubt." And beloved ones, I believe that we are in our families, our personal life, our family life, and in the assembly, there is such great danger of the lack of discipline. Your president, Lincoln, one time said in the Gettysburg Address, "Government of the people, for the people, by the people." This is not God's method. His method is instruction coming down. All authority comes down. I see the dangers amongst us by inviting to have discussion groups, symposiums, as they're called sometimes, the expressions of our thoughts. Oh, beloved ones, it's the voice of God, it's the voice of Jesus Christ that you and I need to have our ears tuned to. Little Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." May you and I, beloved ones, have ears tuned to that voice, careful to be listening and to be acknowledging the authority of that voice. That, beloved ones, is the only way, I believe, that we're going to endure the storms that are coming. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." May that be the prayer of each one of us. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I think it was Terstegen that wrote, "They speak to me of music rare, of anthems sweet and low, of harps and viols and angel choirs. All these I could forego, but the music of the shepherd's voice is the only chord I ever heard with which I cannot part. May, beloved ones, your ear, my ear, be tuned to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his very words. May we not turn to the right hand, to the left. We can count. Absolutely, we've been hearing this morning of the confidence. Let's not lose our confidence, but let us keep our ear tuned to his blessed voice. You and I will never go off the track if we set aside our reasonings and our opinions, and if we listen to his blessed voice. Samuel, I repeat it. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth." May we listen.